Let's bring in Frank Corrado, our Maple Leaf analyst, former Maple Leaf hockey player. Frankie C., how are you today?
Guy, I'm good. You miss me or what?
Oh, Guy, it's, you know, when we text once in a while when we're watching things. But nonetheless, yeah.
Yeah, now it's mostly about the Sopranos when we're texting, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's, anyways, we'll move on. I just want to say that, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch the Kadri evolution because he's gone from a suspendable guy to a guy who stirs the drink, basically, physically. And you know, it's not just on him, but when you put him back as a Maple Leaf, you realize all the things that had to be adjusted on those Maple Leaf teams back then and how long it takes to do that, don't you?
Yeah, and there's probably a little bit of a history lesson for what's going on with Nazem Kadri right now, right? Like, you talked about maybe wanting to ship him out after the suspensions, and not you, Jimmy, just in general, the market, the fans, whatever, want to, you know, ship him out because he can't, you know, he can't help himself in the playoffs, right? And maybe if you were patient, maybe if you kind of tried to reel him in a little bit more, you have that Nazem Kadri playing for the Leafs right now, and you have a different team, but I think the history lesson there is with this core right now, right? A lot of people are talking about making a trade just to make a trade. And, hey, you could do it, and it could work out, and that could help your team. But maybe there is just a little bit of a patience exercise that needs to be practiced because with Kadri, was it really his last straw in Toronto? Like, do you think that was it, or do you think there could have been more there? So whether you do or you don't, he's playing phenomenal hockey, and that's the player he's always been. He's always been that guy with a lot of skill, great hands, ability to score, ability to make plays, but plays on the edge. And I think that's what Brian Burke really liked about him when he drafted him however long ago, right? Like, you can remember that conversation that he had on the floor of the draft, and he's saying, Kadri's my guy. Like, that doesn't matter, right? Like, that's his guy, and he identified that. And Naz has, he's lived up to that. And, you know, when I look back at his time with the Leafs, he played on some pretty bad teams here. Right. And so when you play on some bad teams, sometimes the tendency is to like overcompensate, right? Because you have to do too much. There's not enough help around you. And maybe in the playoffs when he was playing here, he still had that mindset where he just had to do a little too much. He was trying to do a little too much, but there was a team around him. There were physical players around him that could have done that job. He didn't need to cross the line every single time. And, you know, for the player, there's a lesson there as well. But you know what? It's great to see him having the success he's had all season and continue it into the playoffs because he's a great teammate, he's a great person, and he works hard every single day.
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting reference point because it tells you what goes into the player maturing and how that fits into a team agenda. And clearly, if it doesn't, then things are adjusted. And I think that really sums up what happened here. And, you know, I think if you went back to some of those early round exits, especially against Boston, maybe a lot of us got ahead of ourselves because it does take some time. And you know, there they are still, you know, the Leafs still struggling to get through the first round. But you know that they're better for it, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think when you look back at his time here, and you know, you're playing the big bad Bruins, right? Like, that's how it's advertised. The Bruins are going to be heavy, they're going to be physical, you got to beat them, they're always having success. And so as a player, sometimes you hear all these meetings, right? You have so many meetings and there's so much messaging that comes across, and sometimes it just gets the best of you. Like, that's the God's honest truth, right? Like, you're just ingrained of hearing how physical, how hard it's going to be, and you see an opportunity to get a guy, and you're like, oh, yeah, like it's green light, and you just don't even think your wires get crossed a little bit, Jimmy. And so, you know, that's like I've seen you in the press box. I see that line gets a little long for the pizza. I see you get a little squirrely. I'm like, well, I got to hold Jimmy back here. He's physical up there. So, that's kind of the way it is. But, you know, I think that comes with experience and maturity and having success, right? Like, he's played really well going to Colorado, and not to say that it's a smaller market, and obviously he's had to deal with some pretty disturbing stuff over the last few days, but, you know, getting out of the Toronto market, getting somewhere like Denver where, you know, we don't have, you know, 8 to 10 different talk shows a day just talking about the Leafs and dissecting every little thing, you know, that probably bodes well for a guy like him who, you know, right from day one has been in the spotlight in this market since getting drafted here.
Yeah, I just think it's an interesting reference point, and you know, I'm not going to try and alibi the failure to get through the first round, but I do believe better days are ahead. So let's go to the most recent news: Geo signing, I mean, a massive discount for 2 years. That's quite a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I just think that's a guy who's, you know, obviously has a couple years left in him and probably enjoyed coming home, being around the family, young, you know, probably has a young family himself and can see what the outlook is here. And, you know, if you're a free agent, if you're a veteran guy and you look at the cores around the league, you got to look at this one and say, okay, there's Matthews and Marner. Like, these guys, they got to be due to break through at some point, don't you think, right? Like, and so, yeah. And so for a local guy, a guy who can help, you know, insulate them on the blue line and, you know, still play some meaningful minutes, I think it's a perfect fit for him, especially where he's at in his career. And, like, he's made his money, right? Like, 800 grand for him is a discount. And, you know, there was talk that he could have had $1 million, and he said, you know what, keep the extra 200,000 and, you know, try and get someone else with it. And, I think that's a commendable move by him, right? And so there's probably a mutual respect between both parties. And you also have to look at it from him as a business decision too. What if he wants to stick around the game a little more, right? What if he wants to get into player development? Yeah. What if there's a managerial position for him, right? And now you're saying, okay, hold on. I could go sign in Toronto for 2 years at 800K, build a relationship, build something with the players and the staff there. And then, you know, what if I get to work in player development or management until I'm 50, 55 in my home? You know what I mean? Like, so your head starts kind of going a little down the road there. And so for him, it just makes sense on so many levels.
Well, for all we know, he could play another year at the same rate if he wanted to. I mean, that's a situation that would develop later on. I want to shift over to the Connor McDavid story because it's marvelous to watch. But I'm going to preface this by not doing an Auston Matthews comparison because I don't think it's relevant at this point. What Connor McDavid is doing is you know just a situation where you've got a star player who has carried the team on his back and the addition of Kane on that left side is the ultimate fit, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what, to do the Connor McDavid Auston Matthews comparison, I don't think it's fair for both guys. I think it is a little bit of apples to oranges. At the end of the day, Connor McDavid didn't have to go up against Tampa, right? Like let's be honest for what it is, right? Okay, so you had LA in the first round. It's just different. It is. And what he's doing, what Connor McDavid's doing is crazy. Right, the pace he's scoring at, the plays he's making off the rush with the puck, he is dominant. He's added, you know, he's just added another element to his game. And you know, I think it was in the past, someone like John Tortorella might come on the TV and say, "Well, he doesn't play well away from the puck," and you know, he would kind of get torched for that statement. But you know, like he wasn't that wrong, right? Like he wasn't necessarily right, but if you watched him play, you're like, okay, I can kind of see what you're talking about, but. You know, and that just shows the maturity and the way that McDavid can really take his game to the next level as well. And, you know, the plays that he's making with Evander Kane off the rush, especially with Chris Tanev out of the lineup in Calgary, you can see that they're having a hard time with that guy, right? Like, Tanev's the guy that kind of steps up and takes those hard matches. And, you know, it's an underappreciated role in the NHL, a guy like Chris Tanev, but you can see what happens when he's not in the lineup. And, you know, McDavid, Dreisaitl, Kane, even Nugent Hopkins looks really good. They got a lot of guys firing really well on Edmonton.
Okay, going to do a lightning round of Yes, Guy, No, Guy, so we'll do this real fast. Chris, hit the intro.
Yes, Guy, No, Guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, drivers and passengers, time now for the lightning round of Yes, Guy, No, Guy. Yes, Guy, No, Guy, number one, Jack Campbell returns.
No guy.
Okay.
No guy. I think he's going to want too much money, and I don't think the Leafs can give him that much money.
Yes, guy, no guy, number two. The Leafs will make several trades this summer.
Oh, Jimmy, you know it's yes, guy. You know it. As much as I just said preach patience and wait to see what happens, I have a feeling this is the summer they make a splash.
Oh, I like that. I'm up for that. And the final yes, guy, no guy, because we're going to run out of time. Yes, guy, no guy. The Leafs are actually closer than most think to playoff success.
Yes, guy. Yeah, yes, guy. Especially, you know what, like, if you don't have Jack Campbell, whether you do have Jack Campbell, you're going to have a good goaltender regardless. You're going to have a good decor, and you're still going to have Matthews and Marner regardless. So there's the pieces there to, you know, hopefully have some success next season.
Frankie C, go easy on the lunch beat, if you know what I mean.
Guy, you know I can't.
Great to talk to you. We'll text at some point in the next 48 hours. Thanks, buddy.
All right, have a good one.
That's Frank Corrado, at Frank Corrado, and I think it's 22 is the Twitter account, so I just want to be sure on that, and we'll confirm that for you later on.